Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreitcher, and I'll be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program, which is a featured program offered by Autism Empowerment, an educational and charitable nonprofit 501c3 public charity serving those in the autism community. To get more information about the Autism Empowerment and Autism and Scouting program after this broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org or join us on Facebook and Twitter. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive via our podcast, we have the information available on our website as well. We had a wonderful response to our last guest, Tony May, and already have him scheduled back for a couple more episodes talking about different things that he's working on. Today's guest is Sean Williams. He's a wonderful and amazing guy, full of support for the scouting programs. He's currently the chairman of Special Needs Committee for the Firefox District, which is located in St. Charles, Illinois. He's also a district roundtable commissioner, former Cub Master. He's currently a committee chair for Troop 3, which is 102 years old. And for those folks out there keeping record, that's since the birth of scouting itself here in the United States for the Boy Scouts of America. And is currently forming a special needs venturing crew, which is Crew 88, that will focus on social issues. Today we're going to be talking about some of his training he's done, but we're going to have him back shortly to talk about the crew that he's forming as well. He's a district merit award winner. He's has an Arrowhead Award and has earned his Wood Badge beads. He's the creator of The Great Race to Autism Awareness, which will be our main focus today, and other trainings and special needs. So let's bring him on board and welcome Sean.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Oh, fabulous. Good for Friday. How are you doing today for this Friday?
Well, not bad. Actually, it's been hot out here, and it's actually been the first nice day we've had in a long time.
It's rainy like usual here in Washington.
Send some our way.
In scouting, many times leaders are very passionate about certain types of programs. Some people, the big push right now in the Boy Scouts is in the Girl Scouts are STEM programs, in science, technology, engineering, and math. Scout leaders kind of focus on traditional programs such as camping and you know, knot tying and that's kind of those types of things. Scouters like you kind of focus on special needs, and we kind of want to, can you tell our listeners why focusing on special needs?
My son, Richard, he has autism. He's on the autism spectrum, Asperger's syndrome, and he wasn't diagnosed till late. It was before his freshman year in high school. Before that, he was diagnosed with ADHD, and so when he was diagnosed, of course, I did like what all the other parents did, started studying up, you know, trying to find all the information you could. And Richard, up to that point, had struggled a little bit in the scouting program. Well, once he got the information and talked to the leaders, his transition went a lot smoother. He kind of owned his special need. Well, I got more involved with, as I learned about special needs, and started looking at, okay, well, how can I help Richard? And that eventually evolved into, well, how can I help other scouts? because I started running into other scouts who were on the spectrum or had ADHD or any number of special needs. So that's kind of how I got into it. And my son actually did an Eagle project that was for a day camp for kids with ADHD and autism spectrum. And that's kind of how I really, really got into it, because it was such a nice project. I was really proud of him.
That's awesome. We actually are trying to get Richard booked on the radio schedule to talk about his journey as well, because I think his story is pretty amazing from what you've told me about it. Just briefly, you're the council, you're your district special needs chairperson. Most districts throughout the BSA, the Boy Scouts of America, don't even have district special needs committees, where and typically committees at the council level kind of are many times laissez-faire. What makes your district or your region different than in other areas in the nation?
Well, for as far as why we have a district special needs committee,
right?
It was shortly after my son did his Eagle project. One of the field directors from Three Fires Council, Larry Beathers, he and my DE at the time was Ivan Correa. They approached me about, they wanted to kind of drill down into the districts more for special needs. They wanted to start getting different districts to start having their own committee to be part of the councils, but be part of the district. And they both knew Richard, and they knew how involved I was getting, and so they approached me to head up that committee. I guess what's different about ours is I have a lot of energy, if anybody who really knows me will tell you. But I'm also very creative, and so we kind of just sat down. I formed a committee, and I was really glad. We have about 12 members on our committee. Everyone was just very passionate about doing something to help the kids, because if you look in all the units, everyone had special needs scouts, and at various times they would struggle. And so what we started doing is setting down, okay, this is how we're going to help these scouts, and this is how we're going to try to help the leaders. So that's kind of how that evolved. I don't know if our area is maybe unique only because our field director decided to drill down into the districts, which I think is a really great idea, and I'd really like to see other councils follow through with that.
No, I can completely agree with you there. What your forte, it seems like, because you've done a lot of different types of training. What kind of trainings have you done leading up to the Great Race to Autism Awareness?
Well, I've done some ADHD awareness training. I did the council special needs awareness training. And then, of course, your autism and scouting training I've conducted a couple times. And other than that, at Roundtable, we actually got the idea from Tony Mee's site, and we did a roundtable on teaching people on how to host a special needs awareness night. So, you know, those are a few of the trainings that I have done. Some of the other things, you know, to help people, we do some things in the district, like a special needs awareness patch program and a special needs awareness unit award. And we're going to be doing in this fall a special needs and scouting roundtable specifically for parents and leaders with special needs scouts that's going to focus just on how to give them resources to help their scout succeed. I've also taught at Training Academy some of these classes.
I was going to say, bouncing off before we get to the Great Race, because that's kind of where I want to focus the bulk of the time today. You mm-hmm. also just recently started a Facebook group, a roundtable. Can you give our listeners the address for that on Facebook, or for a little bit?
Oh, sure. If you go to Facebook and just search up, you know how you search up at the top, just it's Special Needs and Scouting Roundtable. And that's a kind of precursor into this special needs and scouting roundtable that we're going to be having. It's going to be the physical roundtable is going to be a quarterly event, but what we're going to do is take those resources and post them on the Facebook page. And just kind of, it's kind of a online roundtable, so to speak, for people with parents, leaders, with special needs scouts to give them an opportunity to get some resources. It's just started, so I don't have a lot of stuff up there yet. After our first roundtable, there will be a lot. One of the little funny things we have going, and he'll be making his first appearance this next weekend at the Corn Boil, is we have a you ever see the Travelocity gnome on the commercials?
Absolutely.
Well, we have a special needs and scouting gnome. And we call him Glimney Longfellow. And what he's going to do is show up at different events, and we're just going to kind of highlight and use him to promote awareness, you know, photo opportunities, and talk to people about special needs and scouting. And it's just kind of an icebreaker, something to kind of loosen people up. They'll be posting things on the Facebook with different aspects of special needs, little tips, advice through Glimney. It's just something to have fun with it, and, you know, make it more interesting and grab people's attention.
Very cool. Now, kind of change focus now to what I really want to kind of cover today. You developed autism awareness program called The Great Race to Autism Awareness, and it was done at your Scout-O-Rama, I think, this past spring. Can you tell us... what gave you, first of all, the inspiration and the concepts behind the Great Race?
Well, they actually came from a couple of different places. I had seen there had been somewhere out your way, there had been an Eagle Scout who had done some kind of autism race where he had a couple of stations.
Yeah, that was a scouter up in, I think, in the Seattle area.
Yeah. I never could get a hold of him. I tried to. I was trying to see what kind of stations he did, but the concept intrigued me. So I kind of took and I looked at some of the stations on the Working with Scouts with Disabilities site of Tony's, and I just started searching the Internet and talking with Richard, who was a great resource for this. And just started putting together, okay, what kind of stations could we do to show awareness, autism awareness? I know we've talked before. One of the things I'm a big advocate on is you hear the thing about autism awareness in, you know, in the public realm. And a lot of that is, yeah, I'm aware autism exists. Well, I wanted to do something that got you drilled down into it and not know it just exists, but kind of get to understand or at least get a glimpse into what some of these kids on the spectrum go through or have to deal with. So when you're dealing with them in the troop, in the pack, and even beyond that, you can kind of have a better understanding that, okay, this isn't bad behavior, this is a meltdown, and this is why. And so I started looking at different things. I started with the sensories. There was, you know, the sound, sight, taste, smell, and touch. So I started with them as kind of my basis to start it and started just researching them, looking, talking to Richard to find out, okay, because on some of these he has a big sensitivity to, some not so much. My little phrase I always use is every scout on the spectrum is like a snowflake. There are no two alike, so... You know, you kind of want to show something that gives a range of it to kind of just get people to understand that not everybody is going to have a hyper sound sensitivity and a hyper sight, taste, smell. But he may have a hyper sound and taste and maybe not so much on the smell. You know, it's just kind of to get people to understand. And then I thought, well, I'd like to have more than five stations. So I started thinking about other things that in using, you know, Richard, and that's, and I'm sure a lot of you out there that are leaders or parents, you use your kid to kind of look at how they're dealing with it to kind of give you ideas, and that's kind of what I did with Richard. And one of his challenges was motor skills, so I kind of came up with the station for motor skills, using some ideas from actually Tony's website for that. And then you had the nonverbal. And I was really blessed. I had a an actual scout who is, has earned a signer patch, and he actually helped us out with that, putting that station together. And then another thing I got to thinking about is you talk about visible and invisible disabilities.
Absolutely. That's typically one of the questions I always ask is talking about what because autism is a lot of times considered an invisible disability. You know, it's not apparent just seeing a child or a scout, where if someone's in a wheelchair or has a cane for being blind, it's kind of more of a visual type of disability. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, what I did is, since we're looking to how do you show people that it's an invisible disability, and actually I'll start going in depth into these, and I'll start with this station. So what we did is we went out, and with permission, we took pictures of scouts on the spectrum and different varieties. We had one in a wheelchair. We had my son. We had a few other pictures. And we had about 10 pictures. And you can do this any number of ways. You can take some pictures of people not on the spectrum. What we did is we took pictures of all people on the spectrum. And we laminated the pictures, put Velcro on the back, and set up a nice trifold board. And we had a spot where we put all the scouts. And then we had Velcro columns that said, is on the spectrum, is not on the spectrum. And we asked the kids and adults, hey, look at these pictures. Which of these scouts are on the spectrum, and which of these scouts are not? And the variety of answers was amazing. We had one who was in a wheelchair, and believe it or not, I thought there would be more people would pick them to have be on the spectrum. There were actually more people that picked that one not on the spectrum.
That's interesting.
And what we did is we had them check, and then we asked them, are you sure? And they would say yes, and then we'd say, well, and we'd tell them every single one of these scouts is on the spectrum. And we would talk a minute about why they thought that and, you know, how you can't just look at it. And it was such a good feedback. People were really amazed. I think we opened a lot of eyes at that station that, oh, man, no, I didn't realize that. And so that's kind of our unique twist that we tried, and we made it fun, because when we're trying to teach somebody something, you want to have fun. It's kind of fun with a purpose. So that's what we did with that. Because I know that's a big thing where you get somebody and you integrate them into a unit. If the parent doesn't share the information right away that they're on the spectrum, leaders assume they're, you know, behavioral problems, you know, because they don't know.
Right. It's not it's not a sensory issue. It's a behavioral issue, and that's obviously a huge area to, I mean, that could take up a couple hours just in of itself talking about that.
But, so kind of, do you want me to go back over the other stations?
Yeah, absolutely. We have about 10 minutes, so we definitely have some time to talk about the different stations that you have.
Okay. Well, going backwards, the way I kind of read them down, going back to the signing, what we did is the theme at Scoutorama was do a good turn daily, but we decided to just do a good turn. And what we did is we had a couple people, we had the whole sign language up on the board, you know, each symbol for a different letter. And we basically had showed how to sign, do a good turn. And we had people at the station that would work with them, and they would try to sign, do a good turn. And they'd ask them, you know, how that was and their understanding of people with nonverbal ability to communicate. And there are a lot of kids that just really enjoyed learning the signing and were really amazed that people have to communicate this way.
Well, just a quick side note, that's how my youngest, when he lost all of his words, that's how he actually started. He started signing, and then eventually he started getting his words back. But signing is such a huge, I totally agree. I love that concept of having that station in there, because it's such a huge portion, especially for the nonverbal kids.
Oh, so, yeah.
Just my two cents.
Oh, no problem. I 100% agree. I mean, that's why we put it in there. We wanted to make sure we covered the nonverbal because, you know, there are a lot of kids on the spectrum that are nonverbal. It may not be permanently nonverbal. Some are. But, you know, it's such communication is such a big issue, you know. So we wanted to show people that so that they would understand. The other station, the next station we did was motor skills. And what we did is we got these big sets of rubber gloves. We had a couple sets of them. And we took just your basic hiking boot with the shoelace. And we just asked, you know, we kind of went over about motor skills. And then we said, well, we'd like you just to tie this boot. And a lot of the kids, when they're getting ready, said, oh, this will be easy. And they started tying, and they were having such a hard time. And I thought this was easy. And he's going, well, this isn't that easy. And so when they get it tied, it wouldn't be really tight. And I said, you know, talked about that. And they got a better appreciation that people with motor skills, how much they have to struggle with something as simple as, let's say, tying a shoe, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have the touch or the feeling or the, you know, to do some of the more common things that people do. And so I think, especially with kids, that was a big eye-opener for a lot of kids. It was something they could kind of relate to, and they actually had a lot of fun with it. We had one kid, it took him like 4 tries, but he actually got a nice tying, but he had to keep doing it over and over again until he kind of got the hang. And that's part of the thing is with the motor skills that you've got to work harder on the spectrum to develop those same skills that somebody not on the spectrum has. You can develop them, but it takes a lot more work.
Absolutely. And then you can go to smell next, right?
Well, actually touch and then smell.
Oh, touch, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Well, with touch, we did something is we took 3 types of sandpaper, grit, we had your very fine to your very rough, and something in between. And we basically told the kids, feel the one in between. Do you feel how rough that is? And they said, yeah. And then we went, well, if somebody with a dialed-up sense of touch, this is what that feels like. And then we had them feel the real gritty kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, that's a lot rougher. I said, and we were telling them, yeah, but your senses can also be dialed down. And this is where the station we kind of focused on that concept with. We said, now feel this fine sandpaper. And they felt the fine sandpaper. I said, that's how that could feel to somebody whose touch sense is dialed down. And, you know, and we told them some of the dangers of, you know, being a dialed down touch sensory is you can get hurt or cut and not realize it. And so it was kind of the concept we were trying to teach the kids on this one. And they had them feeling it. And I really thought we got our point across that, you know, touch sensory, you know, it's a big deal. You know, we talked about the little tags in the shirts. Thank God for tagless shirts now.
Yes, exactly.
I know Richard had a big touch sensory. We used to have to cut all his tags out of all his shirts. So that's kind of what we did at that station. Now, smell, the next station we did is we got a couple strong candles. We had a Yankee candle there, and we had some Walmart candles. And what we did is we kept the lids on, and we had them take the lid off and then breathe in deeply for about 15 seconds. And, you know, basically, as on all these stations, you had to rate your experience and your discomfort with it. And the smell, we had such a wide range of answers to people that just loved it, to people who after like 2 seconds had to get away and, you know, it just gagged them. And so we, you know, tried to convey to them, well, this is what a smell sensory. So when you're doing something and you see somebody, and they use the Kaibo as an example, you know, the scouts on the autism spectrum, they have a problem with the summer camp Kaibos. And
right.
My son used to, he would just not go. And we finally had to talk, you know, I had to talk to a staff person to get him to let him use a staff Kaibo.
Mm-hmm.
One time I even had, to, I took, with permission, took him off site to the gas station so he could go to the bathroom. But,
it's so true because, I mean, I know other people out there that are listening. We'll get that because same experiences. My oldest, same thing, would not go at camp. I mean, it's very rare. So
the happiest day in my son's life of summer camp was when he found out they had built a shower house with flush toilets.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes, and we have 1, 2, 3 more stations, right?
Okay, I'll go through them real quick. Taste. What we did is we got, like, Jolly Rancher sours, and what the idea was you suck on them for about 15 seconds, and then tell us how sensitive you were to that. We had a wide variety of things, people spitting them out, and you have a little trash can there for them. And they would just kind of rate how it went for them. Some kids just kept on sucking and went to the next station. Sight, what we did, and slow me down if I'm going too fast now. What we did is we took a couple pairs of goggles. We duct taped them up because we didn't want to use blindfolds because of the being able to sanitize them.
Right.
And what we did is they put them on and leave them on for about, 15, 20 seconds, and then pull them off when it's bright out. It doesn't work as well when it's cloudy. But you keep your eyes open for about 15 seconds, and then you rate how uncomfortable it was. Wide variety of answers on that one, too, to kind of let people know that, you know, like flashing lights and that, there's a discomfort level with the different changing in lighting.
Right.
The sound was a favorite one of a lot of people. And what we did is we got we used an iPod with a jack, a Y adapter, and we plugged two headphones into it. And what we'd do is we'd play a fast-paced music, and then we would talk to the person across the table and give them instructions, and then ask them how hard it was to concentrate. And people were amazed on how difficult it was, and I really think that was one of the top three stations out of all those stations where people really, the light bulb went on for them and said, oh, I understand now.
It's interesting because on that one, I always thought that when you described that to me, I always thought that would be totally the winner one too, if you would.
And because you, even like in scouting meetings, like now in our troop, we have a sensory area that you can go and just calm your senses down anytime it gets too loud. Because people start to understand that, loud intensive systems can, you know, really agitate the scout on the spectrum and eventually lead to a meltdown if you don't see the trigger fast enough. The finish line is we just had a bunch of materials and asked them how they felt their experience was, and we got such positive feedback. We ran 188 people through those stations that turned in cards. We probably had 250, 275 of people, if you count the ones who didn't fill out a card. It was a really great experience, and it's something I'll do again. And I don't know, what else would you like to know about it?
I just want to tell people that if you want to learn more about it, on the Autism and Scouting Facebook page, and there's a document section, you can find all of the documents for Richard's Great Race. We have about 30 seconds left. Thank you so much, Sean. Richard. Sean's Great Race, sorry. Inspired by Richard, I should say, right?
That's right.
But anyways, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We definitely want you to come back. I know the 30 minutes just, like, went so fast.
That was quick.
I mean, we could totally have been taking up probably a full hour. But anyways, thank you so much, Sean. And, again, thanks for tuning in. And we'll have Sean back. Have a great day, and see you later.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.